Chapter 14. Over the next few weeks, Pox divided her time between attending the Duke and leading scouting parties of archers north and east from the stronghold. No orcs showed, but the Duke took no chances. "I don't want to take the whole company into the lairs," he explained, pulling out the old charts of those tangled burrows and tunnels. "It would take the whole company, at least. We never did follow these all the way to the end. We'll post a guard closer to the lairs and ride patrols, and let that be it in this weather." For hard winter had set in, with a bank of cloud to the north that promised storms of snow. Although Pox was still uneasy about it, the rest of the company accepted her unusual status calmly. On patrol, she wore the Duke's uniform and carried a short sword or bow. Her friends had gotten over their shyness and chatted with her easily. But she lived in the Duke's court, with the captains, and ate at the Duke's table. His armorer was making a set of chainmail for her. She drilled on both sides of the gate, with the captains and the Duke himself at longsword, both afoot and a horse, and with Saigar and the others for shortsword and bow. She rode in with the Duke to meet with the councils of Dukes East and West. Here she learned things about farming that she had never learned on her father's farm. She began to see how all the crafts and trades in the Duke's lands fit together, how he could know how much of what supplies to order from Varela. In the evenings, she listened as the captains and the Duke discussed not only his realm, but other realms around. She heard the story of his first visit to Kostendun, and why Sophie Ganarian was willing to help him in Arrhenius. Gradually, she learned more about the Duke himself, that he had been Aliam Holveric's senior squire once, that he had won his title and domain after taking command of the Saiyan army, after the death of the Crown Prince, and defeating a Parganese force along the border. Tamarian's sword, she learned, was a wedding gift from Aliam Holveric. Tamarian herself had been Finthan, from Blackbone Hill. With maps and models, the Duke and his captains made clear the relationship of the Eight Kingdoms, the forests and hills, the non-human kingdoms of gnome and dwarf. They reinforced the things she'd learned in Fin Pinir and extended them, the correct forms of address for different officers in each kingdom, the insignia of all the knightly orders, the little niceties of etiquette at each court, and they asked for her tales, especially of Fin Pinir and Calobia. At first, she was shy of speaking before them, but this soon passed. Day by day, as the Duke recovered from his wounds and the threat of orc invasion lessened, the mood of the company changed. Pox thought it was for the better. More smiles, more laughter in the mess hall, but without any less intensity or eagerness in drill. The Duke himself seemed more relaxed, and at the same time more alert. He gave his whole attention to each problem that came up, from the restocking of orc-burnt farms to the blocking of the tunnel in the wine cellar. Pox had always thought of Arkelin as stern, and Doran as remote and severe, but even these captains thawed, showing her